Well, good morning. Definitely a busy and full Father's Day service today and all the things that we've been talking about and going through. And let me encourage you that in the welcome folder there, that we want to know that you're here. We want to know that there's anything that we can minister to you in, and we want to know any of the prayer requests. So things that we would know within the body, they're disseminated each Monday. Anybody that would like to be on that list to where those prayers go out to, we send them out to you so you can pray along with us as a body of Christ, as a family of God. Important for us to be connected in that manner. So go ahead and grab your Bibles, get them ready. We're going to bounce around the scripture a little bit today. Grab your outline. You can follow along in that as we would go through here. But like I said, we're gonna kind of cruise around in scripture and look at a lot of different passages. I chose to talk about our relationship with God because it's Father's Day, and I wanted to talk about our relationship with God as our Father. My heart was prompted to do that. Scripture teaches a lot about our relationship with God and Him and our relationship as Him being our Father. That's why I titled the message, I Will Be a Father to You. I got that out of 2 Corinthians 6, where it talked about that. We were in a few weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago. So as we look at this and we go through this, I'm having you find your place, get your Bibles ready. The application to dads and even granddads and all of us will be a parent with our topic being our relationship with God as our Father. So it applies to us all. The word Father is used 1,825 times in the Bible. In all the way a father would be, you know, this father, that father. It's 500 times in the New Testament. It's over 100 times in the New Testament referring to God the Father, or Jesus' relationship with His Father, or our relationship with Father, or the Father in our life. Over 100 times in the New Testament, it's in the Word of God that it talks about God as our Father. My heart was prompted to preach this message when we studied 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Where he talked about, I will welcome you, or I will be a father to you. But it was also prompted along the way as I was studying that and going through all the scriptures as when I was in that passage. I saw this little cartoon illustration. Interesting how God can prompt some things on your heart and just to what you think about. And Father's Day was coming up and that kind of thing. And it was two little boys. They were 5, 6, 7 years old. That's all they were. And they were just kind of hanging out. And one asked the other one, said, hey, you got anybody famous in your family? What a little boy might say. Any Michael Jordans in your family? You know, anybody famous? Any George Washington back in your background? That kind of thing. You know, you got anybody famous in your family? And the other one said, well, I don't want to brag, but my dad was talking to God the other day, and I heard him. And he was talking to him, saying that he's his father. So in the little boy's mind, he's thinking, hey, that guy's granddad is God. 5, 6, 7-year-old, that's how they would get it. That's how he would understand it. Yeah, we got somebody famous in our family. Grandpa's God. I heard Dad talking to him, and he was calling him his father. And so you know what? That's what we're looking at today and what we're going to be talking about and prompting our heart in our life. Now, Scripture teaches us and tells us that there's one living and true God, that He is infinite and all-knowing spirit, perfect in all attributes, but He eternally existed in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they're all in one essence, God. But there's one God, and God manifested Himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But it's one God. God the Father is from whom are all things, Scripture says, and we exist for Him. God the Son is by whom are all things, and we exist through Him. And God the Holy Spirit is the one that pierced our heart with the truth, who empowers us and leads us to live our lives for God. God the Father is the first person of the Trinity. He is sovereign over all. He is ruler over all. His fatherhood involves both His designation within the Trinity, God the Father, and His relationship with mankind. As Creator, He is the Father of all men, but He is spiritually Father, or a spiritual Father, only to those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the relationship focus that we're going to have today, what we're going to look at. God is our Father. So let's begin by turning our Bibles to Colossians. Let's look at Colossians 1. We're going to pick up in verse 12 or so, but that's what I'm going to be doing today. He will be a father to us. You know, if you think about fathers, if you think of just about fathers and what you know, Father cares for you, He encourages you, and He instructs you, He guides you, He cares for you, He protects you. You know, a father has a lot of responsibilities that we would all know that are in Scripture, but if you just think about a father and all the father would want for his children, here's God, He's our Father. He is God the Father. And that's what the Bible is teaching us and telling us. So in Colossians here, we're picking up, just gathering some information, gaining in our life and understanding that he'll be a father to us, that God is our father. Here, Paul is writing to Colossae, and he's writing to the church. In verse 3, he said, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, you know, he didn't father the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't birthed from the God the Father being married. He's talking about the relational aspect in the Trinity, in the Godhead. The Son submitted to the Father. Now we're looking at Father, God the Father. And he said, "We thank God the Father, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." Now look at verse 12. As Paul goes along and says, "Hey, we pray for you and ask that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will, that you, so you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord that saved you, that you could please him in all respects, bear fruit, strengthen with all power, praying for God the Father to work in your life, for God to work through your salvation in Christ." Look at verse 12. In our heart, in our life, when we pray, asking the Lord, seeking him, we're to be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share an inheritance of the saints in light. Listen, God, your Father, qualified us through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to try to grasp what God is saying in his word as we think about Father today and as God being your Father and our Father and my Father. Paul is saying it right there. We miss it at times. We don't think about it as that, but as a father would care for his children. God the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of saints in light. Look at verse 13. "For he," that's God the Father, "rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through the forgiveness of sin." See, God the Father is who sent the Son that through him, your faith and belief in the Son and what he did, God the Father rescued you, redeemed you, brought you back into relationship with God. He rescued you, delivered you from the domain of darkness. See, your Father, God the Father, is the one that rescued you through faith in Christ. Now, I will not boast in anything but Christ, because my faith in Christ is what saved me, rescued me, delivered me. But God the Father sent God the Son to do that. And our relationship with God becomes one of Father to those that believe. As much as you would think of a father caring for his children. The verse 19 says this, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him," him being Jesus, "and through him," this is the Father's pleasure, "and through him," Jesus, "to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross." Through him, say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Verse 21, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds," that's before your salvation, "yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body," that's Christ, "through death, in order to present you before him," him being God, God the Father, "holy and blameless and beyond reproach." You see, God and the Godhead in the three persons of God manifested in life, God the Father sent the Son for you to believe in the Son, for the Son to pay the penalty of your sin, to rescue you and redeem you and restore you back to relationship, back to God the Father. So your relationship, my relationship, is with God through Jesus Christ, and we have one with the Lord, and we have one with the Holy Spirit, and we have one with God as Father. Now turn your Bibles to Romans 8. Now I'm just laying this. This is God the Father in your outline. Just laying here what God's words, like I said, it's 100 times in the New Testament. I picked out some as we would go through this for us to grab hold of understanding God as your Father. Romans 8, Paul writes this, verse 14. And following, he says this in Romans 8, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Through your faith in Christ, through trusting in him and having the new life in Christ and coming in and being created new, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, comes and dwells in your life. And everybody being led by that third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God, leading and guiding their life, every one of those are the sons of God. They're the children of God. They're the people of God. And God is their Father. Look at the next verse and what he says. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. Through faith in Christ, God adopts you in a sense. He brings you in to the family of God as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. In our heart, in our life, in our, we can cry out. We have a relational aspect. This is what he's talking about. By the Spirit of God, he has brought you into the family of God, reconciled you back to God the Father through this believing in the Son. I want you to grab this. And then in our life is the Spirit of God, and we've been reconciled, and we cry out to God our Father. And the Spirit, it says the next verse, testifies to your spirit in your own life that you are heirs of God, heirs of Jesus Christ. This is what happens in salvation. This is what happens when you believe in Christ and you're reconciled. God becomes not just the Father of the created things, he becomes the spiritual Father to all that believe in the Son. And the Holy Spirit testifies in your life that God has done that and brought you into the family of God as a child of God, to where you cry out to your God, hey, Dad. That's what that says in Arabic. That's what we're talking about today. That's what God is wanting us to grasp and recognize. Yes, he's God. Yes, we're to give him all honor, and we're not bringing him in the sense of down that we would compare him to me as a father or you as a father, but he's the perfect father. God the Father becomes God our Father through salvation in Christ, and that's always been a big part of God's relationship with his people. Deuteronomy 32, Song of Moses, Moses declares that there are people that are not God's children. He's not a father to them. He declares in that there are people that are God's children that he's a father to. Exodus 4, God tells Moses to go tell Pharaoh that Israel, the people of God that he is delivering out of the hand of Egypt, are God's sons. And they're to let my son go. That's how God represents himself to the people that were in Egypt, held captive in bondage to being enslaved to Pharaoh. And to the people of Egypt, that he told them to go tell Pharaoh, that is my son, Israel, as corporately, you need to let my son go. This has always been the relational aspect with God, with his people. Isaiah in 64:8 writes, O Lord, you are our Father. You are our Father. And then he talks about that relationship with them. It's a father relationship with God. It's interesting. Jesus talking to the Jewish crowd around him. I want you to turn to John 8. Very interesting passage. Very interesting dialogue that goes on here. And we can pick out and see some things about how the Jewish people even understood that God was their Father, you know, when Christ was here and Jesus proclaiming that he had came from the Father, and they weren't grabbing that and they weren't believing that. But I want you to listen to the dialogue in James 8, or John 8. I'm sorry, did I say James first? Or did I say John? I said John. Okay, good. I have you guys like, oh, no, he's just got... There is no James 8, is there? Some of you thought, well, if there's not a James 8, so I'm safe. Anyway, so John 8, 31. People were there, and they were paying attention to Christ, and there's somewhat an idea of they're believing that he might be the Christ. They're believing in him in some way. And then Jesus says this in 31. He says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then see, because they're thinking physically, they're thinking of who they are in this world and in this life. And they answered, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. So they're thinking about being enslaved to people. We're Abraham's descendants. We're Jewish people. We're not enslaved to anyone. Okay? Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about there, that we got to be disciples of you, and if you know the truth, you'd be set free. I'm not a slave. You say you will become free. And Jesus answered them, said, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. See, he's not talking about physically, is he? Jesus is communicating something spiritually. Everyone that sins is a slave to sin. If you sin, you're a slave to sin. The only thing that sets you free is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in him. And now I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a slave in a sense to God, to Christ, to the Lord, and I can live rightly because I can choose what to do right or wrong. It's a spiritual thing he's talking about. And they're seeing it as, well, we're not enslaved to people. And he says, hey, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. Verse 36, so if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendant, yet you seek to kill me, Jesus Christ, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I've seen with my father. Listen to the relational aspect with father and that God is our father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. Now, they would think, oh, Abraham's our father? What are you talking about? Jesus is declaring that God is his father. And they're still thinking in the physical. They're not thinking in that. So they answer, verse 39, they answered and said, hey, Abraham's our father. Jesus, he knows you ain't getting it. Yeah. He said to them, if you're Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. Abraham believed and trusted in God, believed in his provision. Abraham had faith in God. But as, verse 40, but as it is, you are seeking to kill Jesus Christ, God's provision. He says me in the text, but I'm kind of giving you a little added to it. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. So he's talking about who's leading their life, their father. And then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And now he's getting to the crux. And here's what he says. We have one father, that's God. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth as and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he has sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Everybody apart from Christ, everybody that happens to believe and trusted in the Lord and believed in his word and surrendered their life to Christ, their father is who in the text? Guys, help me. That's the word of God. Before I came to Christ, before I gave my life to the Lord, before I surrendered my life to Christ and believed and trusted in him, the one that was leading my life and that was guiding my life and was encouraging my life and was being a father to me was Satan. That's what the Word of God says. That's what's going on in the world. That's what's going in life. And when you surrender your life to Christ, when you believe in him, who becomes the father of your life is God the Father. He becomes a father to us. That's an important aspect that we're talking about today. God is our Father, and there's only way that he becomes our Father through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you haven't believed in Christ, your Father is not God. It is the enemy of God. And as a father would want to try to teach their children to live for what the father believes that they should live for, that's what's going on in the life of the unbeliever, and that's what's going on in the life of a believer. And as a father on this planet, as somebody that has children, my desire, my goal, my want, it would be to want to be a father to my children and to teach them and encourage them and to grow them up and to mature them in the ways of my father. And that's what we're looking at today. As we're thinking about that God is our father, so in your heart and mind, is God your father? Is this the relational aspect that you have with him? The first observation I want to make about that God being our father is intimacy. He said, I'll be a father to you. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. So we're encouraging our own lives, we're encouraging us to see is our relational aspect with God, one as father. Again, thinking about what a father would do in this life, he would care for, he would nurture, he would encourage, he would want to mature, he would want to teach his children how to function in life, how to be the right way in life, how to be respectful in life, all of the different things that a father would want to do for their children. God the Father wants to do for his children, for us, and the first one that we want to observe is the intimacy that we have with God the Father. 2 Corinthians 6, in your outline it says 2, that was a mistake, it's 2 Corinthians 6, looking at verses 16 through 18. Remember, we covered this, and this is what we were going through. And Paul wrote this. He said, we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, he said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and shall be my people. See, the Holy Spirit, God himself, dwells in our life. God walks with us in our life. God is our God, and we are his people. And then the encouragement or the command in the text was for, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. We cover that, and do not touch what's unclean. As a believer in Christ, where God is our God, God is our Father, we would want to make choices to come out from serving and living in a world that recognizes or doesn't recognize God as their Father. And then he says this, look what he said. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That's intimacy, isn't it? It's incredible intimacy. Like I said in 1 John 3:1, see how great the love of the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called children of God. Intimacy is what God desires to be with you, and what God is encouraging us for us to be with him. That's the whole idea of talking about and being a father. That's the whole idea about being sons and daughters. Think about that. Think about that. All of us are sons and daughters to somebody, aren't we? In the physical life, in the temporal life, in this life, you are sons and daughters to people. You wanted intimacy with mom and dad and whatever that was, and whatever it happened to be or what it didn't happen to be. And they kind of wanted intimacy with you. Not kind of, they wanted, I shouldn't have said it that way. But anyway, and that's the earthly relational aspect of it all. But here is God, God doing all that he can, send his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, that you'd be reconciled back to God, and God would be your father, you would be sons and daughters to him. Do you think God cares about your life? Do you think he wants to be intimate in your life? Do you think he wants to know, he wants you to understand that he knows how to teach you how to tie your shoes? That he knows how to teach you how to rake the yard? That he knows how to teach you how to mow the yard and then how to repair, how to barbecue chicken. Some of us guys, we need to get that lesson. But do you know God knows how to live this life? He knows how to be what he wants you to be in this life. God knows what it is in this life for you to do. God understands who you are and who we are, and he wants to be a father to you. But he wants to be the perfect father, the heavenly father, not the earthly father in the sense that struggles with wanting their kids to adore them or wanting their kids to be whatever we struggle with in our earthly fatherhood. So intimacy is huge. God wants to be intimate with us as a father is to a daughter, and talk about every detail of life, and talk about all the intensity and all the confusion and all the worry and all the fear and all the things God as a father wants to talk to his children. He wants to comfort his daughter. He wants to nourish his daughter. He wants to raise up his son to have courage and honor and dignity and bravehood and Christ. He'll be a father to you. It's important every day to listen to your father. It's valuable every day to be a father, because each day matters. Each thing you teach, each thing you say, each thing you focus on, and each way you live as a dad, as a father, is important. What you make vital, what you make the focus, what you make the point, what you make the purpose, infiltrates, good word, your family in such a way that you want it to be God's, because God wants to be our father and infiltrate everything in our life that way. Just a thought. Is your life reflective of that kind of relationship? God your father and you his son or daughter? Is your life reflective of that you have a father, a heavenly father that cares for you in each and every decision and wants to teach you and guide you and help you in all the ways of life, of how to learn to be what God has designed you to be, a child of God that honors him, that loves him, that represents him, but a perfect father with no wrong motive, with no wrong attitude, with no struggle with stress, but a kind and gentle and patient and loving and corrective and intimate father. Is this an area where you would like to God to help you grow in? That you would want God to work on this intimacy with him as your father? That you would say, Lord, this isn't me. Help me with this. Do you think God, your father, would want to care about your life and help you with that? Recognize that you have full access. That's second on your list there. There's nothing hiding God from you. There's nothing keeping God from you. God, your father, isn't away on a trip, and he's not too busy for you, and he's not unfocused on what he needs to do. You have full access to God the Father. The God the Father wants to help you with truth, with purpose, and reality. He's there for you, and you're not hindered by him. Ephesians 2:17 and 18 says that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all believers have full access to the Father, full access to the Father. Now look at Matthew 6 with me. Turn to Matthew 6, and I think we're going to look at verse 6 and following. Now we're talking about access. We all have full access by the Spirit of God to the Father. We have access to God. It's not like we have to wait for a moment, or we have to wait for the better time, or it's that. It's just like a dad being a dad at home that is trying to be what God would want him to be. And as a father, we would want to make sure our kids had full access to us, that we weren't too busy to talk to them about something, or we weren't too unfocused, or whatever it is. Our desire would be to represent that in that way, that we always had the time, whatever the question was, even though it was the same question for the ninth time. I understand all of that. And why did God make trees green? And why? All of those kind of things that happen when kids are little. But you have full access to God. Look at Matthew 6 with me. Listen to what Jesus is saying about God the Father. And I needed to turn there, not just keep talking. I think it's, look at verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5. And he's telling the disciples and those around, he's telling them, encouraging them into truth. And he says, hey, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you that their reward is full. Listen, we don't want to be that way. That's not intimacy with God. That's trying to be recognized that you get to talk to God, that you are a spiritual person, that you are a holy person, you are that kind of thing. Listen, church isn't that at all. The body of Christ isn't that at all. In fact, I don't care what you look like. I care where your heart is at. I don't care what it looks like. I don't want it to look all wonderful when it looks like horrible when no one sees. Who would ever want that? And God, your Father, doesn't want that for you. He's your Father. He doesn't want it to be phony. He doesn't want to be fake. He doesn't want it to be hidden. He doesn't want it to be... That's not what he wants for you. And nobody would want that for their family. I don't want to know that all my family's doing wonderful when they're not really doing wonderful. I don't want it to appear to be wonderful. I don't want to throw out everything for everybody to see. That's not what I'm talking about. But see, God, your Father, isn't into appearance. He's into you as a child, as a son, as a daughter. And what's going on in your life, and he wants to walk with you and care for you and encourage you and hold your hand. He understands you. And so Jesus is talking about, there's the religious people that think it's about that. It ain't about that at all. And then in verse 6 he says, but you, when you pray, that's talking to God, that's talking to the Father. Go in your inner room, close the door and pray. To your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret, and he will reward you. Verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Don't do that. Don't make it about some repetition. Don't make it about, if I just keep repeating this, if I just keep getting this, if I just keep doing it this way, somehow it's going to happen. You know what? Don't teach your kids that. They already know that one. They already know if they just keep asking dad the same thing and they just keep asking dad the same thing. Well, sometimes dad, you know, then they run to mom and they keep asking mom, can I have the cookie? Can I have the cookie? I said, no, you can't have the cookie. You can have the cookie. And then pretty soon mom and dad break down and they can have the cookie. God's not like that. That's not our God, our Father. He's not here to be broken down to get you what you want and that kind of thing. He's a perfect Father. He wants what you need as a son or daughter. And it's not meaningless repetition if you keep asking God to help you with the same thing, because you can't get over the same thing, because it's relational, it's intimacy, it's access. But if you keep asking for the same thing, thinking the repetition is going to make it happen, you've misunderstood your Father. Don't teach your kids that. Dads, don't do that with your kids. Your relationship, Dad, with God your Father is apparent to each and every one of your children. They see who your Father is. They see who God is in your life. They see if it's hypocritical. They see if it's only on the street corner. They see if it's only a church. They see if it's only repetition. Because they ask, why do we pray at dinner? They ask, why do we do that? They wonder why we do these things. Don't do that. Be in relationship, intimacy, full access to God the Father. He's a loving and caring and nurturing Father. Remember the prodigal son in Luke 15? Turn there with me. What a great story. So much in the prodigal son. Luke 15 is one of the highlighted chapters in the Bible. So many lessons and all of that. But Luke 15, you guys know the story. The prodigal son, he says to his dad, to his father, you know, give me all my estate. I don't want to wait for you to die. I just want it now. I want to go live my life. I want to do what I want to do. Give me my stuff. The father gives him the stuff. He goes out. We're going to look at verse 17 and following. And he lives all the way he's going to live. And verse 17 says, you know, life just got to where it was. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger? Realization taking place of where he's led his life, where he's went. Verse 18 says this, listen to what he says. I will get up and I will go to my father. And I will say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and against your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. Think about what's going on in his mind. So he got up and he came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And then the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now let me ask you, when you sin, when you fall short, and you have intimacy with your father, God the Father in heaven, have full access to him, and you fall short and you sin, do you go to your father and say, you know, I'm not worthy to be your son? And that if you'll just accept me, if you'll just accept my repentance and my turning, you know, I'll just take whatever, you know, I'll be a hired hand in your life, I'll be whatever. Because the response of the Father in Luke 15 isn't that. The response of the Father in Luke 15 is to embrace him and put the fatted calf out, because they've turned from sin, they repented, and my son has been saved and rescued and delivered from what separated him from the Father. So whatever our life is, whatever difficulty we have, whatever we see that's our sin, that we've fallen short, in the intimacy that we have with God and the full access we have with God, when we go to him, it isn't on a, I'll make a deal with God, or God isn't going to accept me, or God isn't going to let me be what he is. He says, you're my son, and I celebrate that you came seeking forgiveness. It didn't change anything that you're my son or that you're my daughter. You see, because God is God our Father with intimacy and full access, God will also be a father to you in instruction. Look at Proverbs 3, moving along real quickly here. So we have, I'll be a father to you in intimacy, I'll be a father to you in full access, I'll be a father to you in instruction. So look at Proverbs with me just quickly, Proverbs. And I picked this one out because I like what this says, but it's all through the Bible about how God the Father will instruct our lives. We can probably, a lot of us, quote a lot of the verses on that, but I like Proverbs 3:12. That's right after Psalms. Proverbs 3:12, look at it with me. And this is what your Heavenly Father is like. This is how He is in our relationship with Him. He's very instructive. He cares about our life. Psalms 3:12, it says, "For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights." That's a good verse to circle. Because God, my Father, God Almighty, will reprove my life because He's like a father to me and He delights in me. I know sometimes we don't feel that way. Sometimes we don't know that. I know sometimes that's a difficult thing for where we might be in life. But God reproves us as children. You could look at chapter 4 and look at the different things that in chapter 4 of Proverbs, it says the father's instructions. And I know this is Solomon writing the wisdom literature, but chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding." That is a principle in with dad and son, or dad and daughter, but that's a strong principle in between God our Father and you as His son or daughter. It's a real strong principle that you seek Him and that you want to know, oh Father, or you want to give attention to the things that He instructs as a father to you. "For I will give you sound teaching. I will not abandon my instruction. For when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live.'" I don't know in your life, I know in my life, God the Father has talked to me about certain things in my life and has come to me as I would be a son to Him, and He's my God. Obviously, I'm not an equal thing to Him, but He's God the Father that loves me and has shown me that I need to keep something that He has shown me in my life. Keep that commandment or hold fast that commandment or that teaching or that principle in my life because it's what's the very best for me. It's what's loving me and caring for me. It's not to order this life and we get it all in line. You see, God will be a father to you in relationship, and I'm just going to move along and kind of bring this to an ending. Because He'll be a father to you in relationship. Proverbs 13:1 says it this way. Don't turn there. It says, "A wise son accepts his father's discipline." You know, Hebrews 12:5-11 is all about the father's love for a son or daughter and wanting the very best for you and me. And that would be His way. And He will discipline and correct His children. God will do that as a father would as children, just like you would as your children. How many of us would allow our 5-year-old to get on the tricycle and ride out in the middle of the street? We would say, "You can't do that," right? And then when they kept doing that, what would you do? Would you just say, "Well, I just don't want you to do that"? Can you not do that? At some point, you were going to have to discipline them in a stronger manner to keep them from riding out in the middle of the street, because as a parent, you know, at some point, that's not going to work out, right? Well, here you have God the Father of perfect wisdom that knows everything in this life trying to get to you in your life, trying to teach you and grow you and mature you and minister to you, knowing that this pattern in your life, this thing in your life, these things in your heart, these decisions, these choices, these thoughts, these things, I need to teach you, grow you, encourage you, discipline you, correct you, because I know what happens when these things are let go in your life or ignored. This is very relational and having a relationship with God. This is about what we're talking about today. He said, I will be a father to you. 1 Peter 1:17 through 21, Peter writes, and I'm paraphrasing it, that God the Father redeemed you, bought you back with the blood of God the Son, so that your faith and hope would rest in God, so you, who call God your Father, will live like He's your Father. That's what we're encouraging our lives today. Relationship. Let's look at one more passage, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 6 and following. That's just a few back for if you were still in Proverbs. Psalm 103. So God is God the Father. He's God our Father. He has intimacy, desires intimacy with us. Wants to flourish in intimacy with you. We have full access to Him. There's nothing that hides Him. We can go to Him with anything you could go to your Father with, and Him caring and loving you and forgiving you and guiding and leading you and the instructions of the Father and the way of this life and in the relational aspect of how a father would love his son or daughter. Now look at Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's another great verse, verse 10. My Father has never dealt with me according to my sins. He dealt with Jesus Christ. He never rewarded me according to my iniquities. He rewarded me according to the work of the cross. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the loving kindness toward those who revere or fear or honor Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. And get this, verse 13, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who honor or fear Him. Verse 14, for He Himself knows our frame. For He is mindful, but we are but dust. And as for a man, his days are like grass and a flower of the field, so he flourishes, and when the wind passes over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. Did you hear what God said? God understands your life. It's fragile. It's short. The wind's going to pass over it, and it will be no more. He knows your frame. He knows your struggle. He knows how your humanity. He knows all of those things in your life, and He has compassion on you. And He has care for you, as a father would care for the reality of like as me as a father of that I've had three daughters and the reality of their humanity and who they are and the struggle it is to be who they are and the battle it is for them to honor that God understands all that as a perfect father. And then He says this, the next verse, and His everlasting love never ends for you. Everything here, everything going on, everything that happens, God is relating to you as God the Father in an everlasting love, in an everlasting relationship, in an everlasting love. That's what He says in the last verse. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting for those who honor the Lord. The loving kindness, the love of God, the mercy and grace of God never stops as God the Father deals with His children as you as son and daughter. So let me wrap up the message. Look at Ephesians 6:4. Last thing we're going to look at today. Ephesians 6:4. My heart was to encourage us all to really embrace and seek after God as a father to us. and to live in such a manner that it reflects that God is our Father. Through the Word of God, as God would prompt us in our life, and whatever fear or whatever hindrance or whatever you have in your heart or mind that keeps you from either honoring that relationship with God your Father, or seeing it as a relationship with God your Father, or being disappointed or hurt, or whatever that is in your heart and mind, that you would think of God in some way as not a loving, caring, kind, concerned, gracious, full of loving kindness and mercy and truth as God the Father, being a father to you, that you would go to him and you would seek him, and that you would let him bring you to the place to where you had enveloped an intimacy, a realness of your relationship with God in that manner. And now we're looking at Ephesians 6:4, applying it to our lives as dads today and as parents. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You could put parents there under fathers. It would fit in the original language. So mom and dad, we don't want to provoke our children to anger. We won't get into what that means, but it says to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What would be the discipline and instruction of the Lord? It would be the truth of God, the reality of God, the honesty of God, the integrity of God, the way of God, the correction of God. It would be all those things. But listen to this. It includes relationship, doesn't it? It absolutely does include relationship. Yours with God. Bring them up in your relationship with God. How do you honor God in your heart and mind, in your life? And how is your relationship with God the Father? Is this you wanting to seek him and get from him what your Father has for you in this life, and whatever he wants to teach you and train you, and that you need this from him, that you are bound to, or what's the word I'm looking for, dependent upon God your Father to teach you and guide you in this life, and you never get beyond that here? Teach your children that relationship, yours with him, and what he wants to have with them through Jesus Christ, to be that kind of relationship with him.